Hey, welcome to the Happy Rant Podcast. I am Ted Kluck, joined as always in studio by my good friend and partner in radio, Barnabas Piper. Pipe, we are sans Ronald this morning, and it's maybe apropos in that we're going to take a deep dive into a thing that got a lot of traction on Twitter last week, and it wasn't Ron's Yoda work.
That got some traction too.
Ronald had himself a week, didn't he? He made some new friends, Piper.
He made some friends, what we would consider outside the camp, if you will.
Yeah. He made some really intriguing friends. And far from like diving into this as a topic without Ron, which we need him on when we do this. But far be it from us to do that today. We have other business to get to, including the business of sponsorship, Piper. These are the nuts and bolts of the media business. And when you're a multimedia tycoon like we are, these are the things you have to think about. So, Pipe, lay a little bit of promotional work on us.
That's right. This is what we call the business of Bibles, because that doesn't cause anyone to be squeamish
because
at all.
That's not the worst thing at all.
That's right. No, our sponsor is the Christian Standard Bible, as it has been the last couple episodes. So if you've been listening, you'll be familiar. They are offering free copies of the He Reads Truth and She Reads Truth Bibles. It's a drawing, so you can enter to win. So if you just go to happyrantpodcast.com, you'll see a place you can enter there, or just go to the blog post show notes for this episode. You'll see that through social media. So they're giving away two copies of each. You can enter until October 15th. But let me tell you a little bit about these Bibles. They're study Bible size, but they're not technically study Bibles in that they're not, you know, so it's not sort of technical notes about, about the interpretations of the text. It's much more of a biblical literacy Bible, I think is probably a good way to put it. Mm-hmm. So familiarization with the context, the authors, the history, and then devotional reflections to help you understand how does this text fit in the whole of Scripture? What is the meaning behind this whole passage, as opposed to a kind of verse-by-verse breakdown. Not to mention that both of these Bibles, the He Reads Truth and She Reads Truth, they're probably the best designed Bibles I've ever seen in terms of interior layout, cover design, just kind of the whole package. So in terms of a pleasurable reading experience, which matters to me, like I hate poorly laid out books. It drives me nuts. So these are ones that I absolutely love. I use the He Reads Truth Bible pretty regularly. I have one on the shelf to my left right now. And actually, both of these are attached to a website, hereadstruth.com and shereadstruth.com, that does daily devotional writings to go with a reading plan that just walks you through books of the Bible. So you can kind of combine these where you use the website, you use the Bible for the reading plan, and then you get this kind of whole devotional reflective experience to help you just go deeper into Scripture. So again, go to happyrantpodcast.com and enter to win one of two copies of each of those Bibles. And you can do that all the way up until the middle of October. So jump on it quick, share it with your friends. If you don't want to wait, you can just buy these wherever you buy books and Bibles and other such reading material.
There it is. I like it, Piper. Great work as always. Pipe, like looking back over the last 20 years or so of evangelical history, what would you say was apex mountain for like manhood stuff?
Oh man.
You know, the whole be a man, the whole Christian man thing.
Well, I think peak manhood had to be Promise Keepers.
Yeah.
Right.
Dude.
Just thinking quantity wise, it was, we're talking NFL stadiums filled with dudes talking about being dudes.
Yeah, but I feel like, and it's funny, this is a matter of like connotative meaning maybe. I never got the douchey, like aggressive feel from Promise Keepers. It was more like, hey, this is just a good way to think about your spiritual lives and do it in the company of other men. But I feel like in the mid 2000s, there was this aggressive, like, you know, hey, be a man, don't be a wuss, you know, like that whole ethos,
like the whole sort of man up thing.
Yeah, that was like that whole thing feels way different than Promise Keepers. You know what I'm saying?
That was attached to a certain collection of pastors who aren't largely pastors anymore, actually. I think Promise Keepers was different because it wasn't aggressive manhood. It was much more like the character of manhood. And there was a lot of talk about servanthood and loving your spouse or significant other or kids or whatever. And it provided a lot more sort of wholeness for people who had been, you know, like if they were fatherless or those kinds of things, it rebuilt some relationships. By and I mean, I'm sure there was a downside to it because everything has a downside. But by and large, I had a really positive impression of Promise Keepers.
Yeah, same, man. My memories of it are almost 100% positive.
Yeah, the early 2000s to mid 2000s rise of like the aggressive cage fighting.
Yeah, tough guy Christianity. Yeah,
tough guy Christianity. Like that stuff. I would say that had more downside than up.
Dude, and it's funny because I like tough guy stuff. I mean, I've played and coached football my whole life. I was boxed for a while. Like, I really like that. But, like, the whole tough guy.
You also like Jane Austen.
I do love Jane Austen. And, yeah, like, I like a whole bunch of
different
things.
I don't mean that in any disparaging way.
Yeah, no, man. I know it. I know it.
I will read poetry while watching football. That sounds like a delightful Sunday afternoon to me, actually.
Yeah, I get it. I totally get it. That doesn't seem weird to me at all.
It would seem very weird to the tough guy manhood crowd, though. And so, I don't know where that fits on this seminal list of manhood things.
Exactly. Speaking of the tough guy manhood crowd, I feel like we had like a 10-year, like almost a decade-long break from stuff like this, where we went like a hot minute without anybody putting out some subjective list of what it means to be a man. But weirdly enough, it happened a week or so ago, and this was in conjunction with, what was it, like Mark Dever's birthday or just some strange Mark Dever thing?
Yeah,
what was the occasion?
There was a pastor in North Carolina who posted this in honor of it was either Dever's birthday or the anniversary of something. I kind of wasn't paying attention to that because the list itself so captivated me.
Yeah, so I want to talk. I want to break this down in various categories, and this is just going to be our episode. So this is the manhood episode. But I want to talk first, Pipe, about just the existence of the list itself, and firstly the appearance of the list. So it looks to have been like laid out on distressed paper, the type of which provided the backdrop for like wanted posters in westerns.
Yeah, very parchmenty.
Yeah, it's very parchmenty. It's very like brown, for lack of a better term.
Yes. Heavy on the earth tones.
Heavy on the earth tones. It looks like it would be tacked to like a tree stump. You know what I mean? Or
with a Bowie knife.
With a Bowie knife. Yeah, somebody would have like stabbed it into a tree stump, and if you were riding your horse in a western, you would come upon it and be like, "Oh, this is some great food for thought." Yeah, so it's called 99 Steps Toward Manhood. It's by a guy named Clint Presley, who neither of us know.
I actually do know Clint. Not personally,
dude, tell me about Clint.
By reputation.
Is Clint famous? What like tier is he in
fame-wise? He's Southern Baptist famous.
Ah, there you go.
So he's you know, well-respected. So Clint is actually – he's a really good pastor of a really healthy church. I think it's called Hickory Grove in North Carolina.
Nice.
He is – by everybody who knows him, both this wonderful, likable guy who's also like acerbic, sarcastic, funny. Yeah. He is definitely a steroidal pastor. So
he's doing a lot of lifting, I got to get a visual on this guy.
Well, look him up, because what he is known for is more than anything, just his aesthetic, is being like a classic Southern sharp dressed preacher. Like we're talking.
Oh yeah. Gentleman.
Yeah. Like, double-breasted suits, just the full thing, like shiny leather shoes. He looks crisp and pulled together all the time. And so
he's thick too. He's definitely done some deadlifting and some back squats for sure. But,
and the thing is, he's built like a former athlete, though, not like when you see Stephen Furtick, you're like, that is a guy who got beat up too much and decided to lift weights.
Yeah, not just a guy who like preens in front of his mirror.
Yeah, you look at Clint Presley, you're like, he probably played outside linebacker.
And just kept up with
his good lifting habits.
So here's my issue with this, man, and no shade at all toward Clint Presley. Maybe we'll get a chance to hang in real life at some point. But like the kind of guy who would sit down and come up with a list like this, the subtext is like I have this manhood thing figured out and everyone needs to be more like me. And a guy who would think like that is a guy who I would never, ever want to hang out with. Not for 1 minute.
See, the other alternative is Clint, I think, is he's probably about 10 years older than me.
Okay.
So which puts him firmly in that stage in life where he's just sick of dumb kids.
Yeah,
because
I'm
mostly sick of dumb kids because I'm not
realizing. Say I'm mostly sick of it too, but
which is funny because your entire occupation is working with dumb kids.
Well, dude, it is, but like I also really enjoy the kids too.
Right.
Like I get exasperated from time to time, but I keep going back because of how much I enjoy it.
I think this reads as a list to me of somebody who's watched one too many like 18 to 24 year old like morons roll through the doors of his church.
Yeah.
And is just like, here, do these things and come back to me once you've checked them all off. So it feels like a fed up list to me, not like a master list of manhood.
Yeah. Which I don't know, what do you think of the fed up list? Like as a thing to do, knowing what we know about 2019, knowing what we know about the internet, Clint Pressley had to know that he would get eviscerated by every like Twitter harpy that there is because of this, right?
Well, I don't know, because I think he deleted the tweet. I went looking for it and I couldn't find it. So I don't know if he thought better of it or was just like, I'm sick of hearing all this crap or whatever. I think the fed up list has to be contextual. So for example, at the day we were recording this on a Wednesday evenings, we have a men's Bible study here at church that I co-lead with one of the other pastors. I would put both of us in the category of like, we like tough guy things, but neither of us are like stereotypical, you know, grunting, violent manhood type of guys.
Yeah.
And so this list we could take into that group and go through like tongue in cheek and occasionally laying into guys. And sort of like, you know what I'm sick of? I'm sick of this.
Yeah.
Because there's 25 guys in the room who we've been, you know, figuring out this stuff with for months. But to put it on the internet is just a recipe for, like, take shots at me.
Yeah, for sure. And to be fair to Clint, man, I love a whole bunch of these. Like, I haven't read the list exhaustively. I haven't read it 1 to 99. But I'm looking at the first four. Trust Christ as Lord. Yep. Read through the Bible once a year. I love that, man.
That's good.
Memorize large passages. I love that.
Didn't like that one because I don't do it, so it convicted me. And
yeah, I'm terrible at it.
Not a big fan of things that convict me, actually.
It's one of those ones that I would like to be better at.
Yes.
You know, so I do celebrate it. Write down prayers. I've ridden with that one for a long time. I really like that. I will never be early to church because of who I'm married to.
That just means you need to skip to the relational part and figure out how to, you know, if does he say anything in there about like loving your spouse or making compromises or whatever.
Dude, like the Uber manhood types would be like, bro, you got to lead your wife, man. Get her out the door sooner. And I'm like, no, you don't understand. It doesn't work that way.
Yeah, so, it would be like the Flintstones where they drag their wives around by the hair or something like that.
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, his part on the Christian life here is largely really,
good.
Really good.
They're good. Yeah.
You know, when he says things like take your Bible to church.
Yeah.
You know, like take your phone to church and use it as a Bible, but just don't look at anything else during the service. You know, he's got like, don't watch pornography. We've discussed that on this show.
Yeah.
We're fully in favor of not watching pornography.
Yeah. Dude, four biographies a year. I'm definitely not checking that box. Like as far as Christian biographies. I mean, if sports biographies count, then I'm good to go on that one.
Yeah, I posted the picture of this to our Facebook page, our Happy Internet Facebook page, just to kind of let people know what was coming. And one person responded and said, how many of them have to be military figures?
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, well, it could be that or political figures, because you could read four Winston Churchill biographies a year and check.
Dude,
check
Christians, these Christian dudes, man, they love them some Winston Churchill.
That's right.
They love that. They love... Yeah, any of the old like Civil War ones, they ride with those. Not so much me, but all right, let's parse this on a more specific level too. I had a hard time with some of the personal habits ones.
Yeah.
In that I cuss and I complain more than I should.
I believe this entire podcast is built around sort of like tap
low key complaining about stuff.
Well, or high key complaining. I don't know.
And trying not to cuss.
Tap dancing around swear words. That's right.
Exactly.
Yeah, that one. The one on the personal habits that got me was don't cry.
Dude, I cry at the drop of a hat these days. It's crazy.
I don't. I'm not a crier, but that's not because I'm tougher than other guys. It's because I just don't cry that much.
Yeah.
But when there's a thing that needs crying about, I'm not opposed.
Yeah, not opposed
to. Like, there are weepy guys, and I think that I'm assuming that's what he's talking about, just sort of the weepers.
Yeah, yeah.
And okay, but even that, like, I don't think that that's attached to manhood.
Yeah, dude, and I think it's nature more than nurture. I mean, it's like screaming at a guy for being short.
Right.
You know, be taller. Like, you know, like this weekend, we were at a lake house, and I have nieces, and my nieces couldn't believe that I hadn't seen the movie The Help.
Mm-hmm.
And they screened it for me. And dude, I probably cried through 2/3 of it. You know, it's an incredible, like, evocative movie in that way. So, you know, there's a 0% chance that while viewing The Help, I wouldn't cry. You know, even if I like thought about baseball or like willed myself not to do it, I would still do it.
See,
you know?
Movies almost never make me cry. It is almost always real life things. So it's either real deep soul things, real pointed family things, or you know, or something that's just something that's painful. It's usually not external things, although not always, because often those things can go together. But yeah, that one just.
Dude, have rigorous daily exercise? Eh, whatever. I mean, that one to me seems like be more like me.
Yes.
Which, it's a good idea to exercise, but I don't know, whatever. That's kind of dumb. I know a lot of guys who are great who don't exercise.
So I liked the one that says be able to do at least 25 push-ups in a row because I can. However, I don't care if somebody else can't.
Yeah, me neither. Don't wear a hat inside is just stupid.
Nope. I mean, wear a hat all the time.
Hats. I'm wearing one right now. I mean,
I'm not because I'm recording this from the church office. Although if I wore a hat here, nobody would care.
Exactly. That's just a cranky guy being like, be more like me. Harumph. You know?
Yeah. So the one on the personal habits that got me the second most besides don't cry was sleep less. This is where it tells me that he is yelling at cranky young men.
Yeah.
Because, like, this is not a list for a 30-something who's trying to be a better man. This is a list for an 18-year-old who's an idiot. I sleep on average 5 hours a night, maybe six. Like, 6.5 to 7
same.
Is a really good night. And I'm perpetually tired. If
I
sleep less,
I will die.
Dude, I
would kill to sleep 8 hours. Are you kidding me?
See, if I sleep more than 8, I feel hungover. But, but like, 7 to 8 would be good, and I never get it. I get it maybe once a week.
Yeah. No, same, man. And I think that's a function of, I don't know, probably being a parent and being the age we are. And I don't know, just your body's changing. You're not able to sleep 10 hours in a row or whatever you could in college.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes it's a function of wasting time. Sometimes it's a function of too much to do in the time you have. You know, if you have kids and a family and you want to spend time with them, but you also have writing projects to do, you have work to do, and maybe you want to read a book or watch a show, like at some point sleep is the thing that goes. So,
dude, so the next category, attitudinal, I like all these with the caveat that, like, I think these are all great for women too. Like, you know, I think that has nothing to do with gender. Like, learning to take a joke, great. Everybody should do that. Being able to work hard.
And in fact, as somebody who has made the occasional woman cry with my sense of humor, I would like it if more women learned to take a joke. That's not a gender thing at all. That's just have thicker skin.
Oh, I figured they were crying because of how thrilled they were with your wit. You know, they were just overcome.
I tried that for a while until I, you know, lost friends and was forced to apologize and things. It's been a while. I haven't made somebody cry in a while, but there was a stretch of life where it was regular. I was also a jackass. So, have a good work ethic. That's not a male-specific thing. I'm trying to teach my daughters to have one of those.
Having a mentor is a good idea.
Be a little competitive. I mean, I think, again, this tells me that he is aiming this at utter slackers. Because be a little competitive doesn't mean anything to me.
Dude, also, my lady is way more competitive than me. Like, we almost ended our marriage over Monopoly at one point. Like, she's the most cutthroat, like, capitalistic Monopoly player there is. She's a savage. So, yeah, I mean, that one is not gender specific, I don't think. Okay, so relational qualities.
Okay, here we
go. This one's kind of all over the it's all over the map, man. I'm all for being nice to your mom. Again, I think that goes for daughters too.
Yeah, now, in some cases, maybe more so, because daughters and moms can have a little bit of a contentious relationship.
They can. That can get tricky. Dude, the whole handshake thing, I'm sorry. I don't know. Like, it's 2019. If I shake your hand sitting down, it doesn't mean, like,
right. So
anything.
There's two handshake ones on here. There's the develop a firm handshake, which I am in favor of. Like, that's just, to me, that's a little bit like making eye contact or whatever. It's just sort of like, that's a respectful thing to do. If you do, like, the limp fish handshake, I feel like I'm going to break you. And I'm not like a hand crusher. Like, I'm not trying to win a handshake. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I just want to shake your hand. But the never shake hands sitting down, you know, some of this just sounds like my granddad taught me this and we never had a reason for it, but we considered it respectful and nobody can explain why.
Yeah, sorry, bro. It's not Downton Abbey, you know? Get over yourself.
Yeah, I'm also not going to bow or kiss the ring either, so.
Yeah. Standing in the presence of a lady, I mean, I don't know.
Like, is that lady or is that female? Like, how are we gauging this? Because if somebody walks in and I'm like, yeah, not super ladylike, do I need to stand up?
Right. Like, I do my job in a classroom and there's, like, girls coming and going at all times, like... If I had to stand each time one of them, like, entered the room, it'd be a leg day.
Yeah,
every day would
you'd
be like
standing up and sitting down more than an average evangelical worship service.
Exactly, exactly. Yeah, I don't know. So I just, you know, I think I probably ride with the spirit of this, but not really the letter of it, you know? 42, walk toward people. I don't know what that means.
That, you know what that sounds like?
Huh.
It's like the hidden Yoda tweet of this list.
Yeah,
I feel like we could workshop walk toward people into some like there's probably some leadership principles of that. There's probably some there's a relational principle. There's a I don't know. But here's the thing. If I saw Clint Presley walking towards me and he's got his seersucker double breasted suit and his shoulders that are like wider than a Honda Civic, I think I might be intimidated.
Dude, can we talk about that for just a second? Because you said something intriguing to me. Like, I think there's a certain kind of Southern man who's just over the moon about what a great Southern gentleman he is. You know what I mean?
Oh, that's 100% true.
And I find myself just patently disliking all of them. You know what I mean? Like I don't like guys who are super impressed with themselves. And I don't know. I feel like that's a turnoff.
Well, to me, it's just like the churched up version of being like a University of Tennessee fan where you wear that hideous shade of orange everywhere. Like, you're just identifying yourself with a thing that is – it's very culturally specific. Yeah. And it doesn't have anything to do with the inherent quality of who you are.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree. I totally agree. It's very like appearance driven. And I don't know. That just seems weird to me. All right. Next category.
Well, can I on the relational qualities, I had a couple more quick things. So he has on there, don't ever quit. Ever is a big word.
It really is, isn't it?
I think there are lots of things that people should quit.
Yeah.
They should quit crying. They should quit cussing. They should quit complaining. According to this list, they should quit doing things. So ever is a big
word. There's a whole bunch of things they should.
So the last two in this one, though, practice encouragement, that could almost go up under Christian life, not relational qualities. That's really important. And then be confident, not condescending.
Yeah.
That one. So here's the thing. That one is maybe one of the most specific to men of anything on this list.
Yeah.
That one. And then don't look at pornography.
No, I totally agree, man. Except that, like, I feel like half of this list is condescending. So in a sense, it's a contradiction of itself. Like,
fair.
Always wear a watch or don't wear cargo shorts. And I get it. He's not trying to, like, you know, write some definitive thing here. He's being a little glib and a little tongue in cheek. But, like, a lot of that is condescending, you know. It just is. So
that's true.
Yeah. All right. Next category, relationships with the opposite sex. What do you think of this one, Piper? Anything jump out at you on that one?
Take a quick fly over here.
Yeah.
Dun, dun, dun. I don't know what he means by go to the door always. Does he mean like open the car door?
I don't know.
That one stumped
like
me.
Like go to every door? That would get tedious.
Like that's what my dog does. She just runs to doors.
Dude, maybe it's on the level of like if you have a date with someone, I don't know, you don't just like idle your motorcycle and like smoke a cigarette in their driveway like James
Dean.
I think that's what it is.
It's like don't sit in the driveway and honk. Okay.
Yeah.
Yep. I'm down with
also,
that.
Also, who would do that? Like no one.
Yeah, you do that. Like, and usually you're not honking anymore. You're like texting and being like, I'm out here. But yeah, there's a certain, like you have to get to a place in a relationship where you can do that. Be like, hey, just pulled up.
Yeah.
So pay on a date always. Again, this is a, now that's my inclination.
Yeah.
However, that's not like, you have to be contextual with that. And also like when people are starting, like, when there are single people who are 28 and 35 and whatever and trying to figure this thing out, that's not how it goes. And that's not – I don't think that's a fair one. Let's see. Be attentive without being a stalker. I'm always in favor of people not being a stalker. That's good.
Doesn't that strike at a deeper sort of heart issue though? Because I feel like people who are stalkers are just – needy in probably an unhealthy and unbalanced way. So, I mean, another way to say that would be don't make an idol out of any other single person, you know, in the sense that like, I think if you're a stalker, you need attention from that person more than you need any other single thing. So,
Well, and the thing is like being a stalker and being attentive have nothing to do with each other.
Because
attentive is when you listen to somebody and you're hearing what are their favorite shows, music, candy, whatever. Like you're learning things about them so that you can, you know, give them
serve
gifts,
them better.
Better, you know, be kind essentially. And stalkers, there's just a selfish like obsessiveness about it. And it's you're not asking or listening. You're simply like you're hovering and looking them up and things like that. And that's – I mean I think there are guys who do that and they make women very uncomfortable. And I don't know that they necessarily mean to. But like if you haven't gotten to a point in your relationship where this is okay, like showing up at somebody's work with flowers is weird.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of thing. Have a short engagement. By and large, I think that's good advice. I feel like once you've said, will you marry me? The rest of the time you have together is just getting to the wedding part. Do the dishes. Okay.
Yeah. Good.
That feels like a marriage thing, not like a 18-year-old can't get his stuff together thing. Mm-hmm. Don't look at your phone. Caveat on that one, unless she's calling, and then please look at your phone and answer
Absolutely. Yeah. Miscellaneous. We got a lot in this category, but
This one was a bit scattershot.
Yeah, that was exactly the word that I was going to use. So, I want to skip to number 67.
All right.
I want to know what these quintessential Southern gentlemen, what do these guys wear to the beach? Because I'm gonna be honest with you. I wear flip-flops. I wear them in the summer because it's 150 degrees here.
Don't bury the lead on this one, Ted. We have to read it. It says, don't wear thongs.
Yeah, and then parenthetical
underwear or footwear.
Yes, exactly.
First of all, don't call flip-flops thongs.
Right.
Because
who calls them thongs?
Old people.
Uh-huh.
But everybody else thinks of thongs as the underwear version. And that's an entirely different visual as well as comfort level and appropriateness in public. So, there seems to be a rising tide against men wearing flip-flops in general.
I don't get it, and it's strange. This to me, 67 to me, is about some sort of like genteel Mark Twainian kind of formality. You know, this guy would never go to the beach, right?
It's like the picture of Tolkien sitting on the beach in a suit smoking a pipe. Like that's what I picture Clint Pressley doing.
That's what I picture too. And this guy, for all his back squatting and deadlifting and shrugging and benching, like he's not taking his shirt off at the beach. He's not going to the beach. His idea of like whiling away the time in the summer is like sitting on a porch in his plantation style home in a seersucker suit, probably with some pair of like really nice leather slip-ons that you wear without socks. You know, that's as informal as it gets for a guy like this. Whereas for me, man, it's 150 freaking degrees here in the summer. I'm wearing shorts and flippies, man, and you can take that to the bank in the summer with me.
But not cargo shorts. That's on the list a little later on.
Yeah, not cargo shorts. Wear a belt. Okay, apparently that's like a huge manhood deal. I don't know.
So on the wear a belt thing, here's the hang up on that one for me is that it's usually old guys who need to be told that. It's like the dumpy dads who tuck their, you know, their graphic t-shirts with like, I don't know, Rush cuffs yeah. or from 1974 into like pale wash jeans with no belt. White sneakers. Like,
yeah,
that's the guy who needs to hear this.
Yeah.
There's also the version of the young guy whose pants are falling halfway down his butt and whatever. But honestly, that looks better than the dumpy dad. So I'm whatever. Wear a belt if you want. Wear a belt if you're wearing clothes that it goes with. Like, don't wear a suit without a belt. You look funny. But
yeah, exactly. Wear shoes with shoelaces. Subtext, be more like me.
Wait, he never wears this. This dude is absolutely a loafer wearer.
He's got to be a loafer wearer. Dude, if he's going to do seersucker suit in the summer, he's for sure in loafers.
Which don't have laces.
Right. Because that doesn't look good with a laced up.
I'm calling BS on that one, Clint.
Yeah. Learn to polish a shoe. Subtext, be more like me. Learn to tie a tie. Be more like me. Miscellaneous. This is a big be like me category.
So, let's just run through some of these. These feel very much like shots at people who didn't have a dad. Learn to tie a tie, learn to polish a shoe, learn to drive a standard transmission, learn to use jumper cables, learn to build a fire, learn to split wood. You know who taught me how to do all those things?
Your dad.
My dad. Yep. There are a lot of guys who didn't have that luxury. I don't know that it's fair to put it on guys. Well, first of all, most shoes don't need to be polished these days. That was a different era. I have two pairs that are polish worthy. Yeah. So those are all things that are like, those are dad things. Not inherent manhood things, nor a thing that a guy should be shamed for not knowing how to do.
Yeah, no, I agree. Don't use too much hair product. Yeah, whatever.
As Mr. puts coconut oil in his hair, and I'm sitting here with like hair wax and hairspray involved in mine currently, I'm like, I don't know what too much is, but I haven't gotten there yet because it was just right.
Piper, I don't know how you are at work, but I have a desk drawer. I keep a desk drawer full of like extra deodorant and hair product. Like I don't want to get caught without it. You know what I mean? I don't want to be caught like unawares, you know, and needing it. So Clint Presley would have take umbrage with that, I bet. 77.
He's also balding, so there is that.
Dude, 77, get rid of neck hair. Now, I gotta tell you.
That was also a gift from my dad, the not having neck hair.
Yeah, and I've got a long, magnificent mane of hair, so really it's not an issue for me either. But like, okay, Andrew Luck, one of the manliest guys I'm aware of in the last decade, he invented having neck hair. Okay. So yes. Like Andrew Luck invented he's God's gift to neck hair, but he also might be God's gift to being manly. So I'm confused. I don't know what to do with it.
Yeah.
78, get a dog. I'm a cat person. It's fine. I mean, but I like dogs.
I'm absolutely a dog person, as discussed at length on this. I don't care if people have pets. I like it if people don't have cats, but again, that doesn't have anything to do with gender either. Learn to defend yourself. I would say learn to defend others. Actually.
Yeah, there you go.
If we want to make this a gender thing, if men got better at defending those weaker than themselves, this world would be a better place. So
oh, I agree, man. I agree.
Make an edit to that one. Okay, number 80 is I think this is the most be more like me thing on this list.
Totally.
Get a good fountain pen.
Yeah.
You know what? Bite me. I'm not getting fountain. I hate fountain pens. I hate them so much. I hate the way they write. I hate the pretension of them. I hate people who every time you're like, I like this pen, they're like, but it's not a fountain. You know, go away. I don't
like
that.
That one is a stupid, poncy, schoolboy, elitist nonsense one.
Yes.
Dude, if I had a fountain pen, I would lose it. I would break it. The ink would get all over me. I don't want that in my life.
No. I'm right-handed, but I write like a lefty almost, where my hand kind of curls around the top.
Dude, same. So it gets all smeared all
ink
all
up
over.
To my elbow.
Absolutely, dude. Absolutely. Comb your hair before you go out because it's the 1950s and you have a pompadour.
That's
okay.
Right. Return calls within an hour, texts within a day, and emails within a week. Only one of those do I generally agree with. And it's emails within a week.
Yeah.
And when I say generally, I mean very generally. It's your phone. You get to choose who you do and don't. Like, you don't have an obligation to be reached.
Mm-hmm.
So. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you should be polite, but also not everything needs to be returned. I don't.
Yeah, yeah. What about stop with video games?
By and large, I think the world would be a better, happier place if fewer video games were played. I would not mm-hmm. attach that to gender or to maturity necessarily.
Yeah.
I think in all things, moderation applies there.
Also, that reminds me of another one. I would not attach learn to defend yourself to a gender either. I just think it's a good idea. I think it's a good idea for like everybody to kind of know how to handle themselves a little bit.
Right. And in fact, yeah, to the point that I was making, if women knew how to defend themselves and men were pointedly defending those who were more at risk,
yeah,
there'd be a lot fewer issues. So,
absolutely.
Yeah, I'm down with that. Wear an undershirt, number 90.
Okay. Yeah, I was going to ask. Okay. Number 90.
No.
White.
No. I mean, I do agree. If you're wearing an undershirt, it should probably be white. But mm-hmm. I wear undershirts for one reason only, and it's because it's a 7,000 degrees outside, and it's one more layer that the sweat has to get through before I get pit stains.
Yeah, no, totally. Don't wear Crocs, whatever.
Be a carnivore, dude, not an herbivore.
I don't care what people wear on their feet or what they eat. Like, I generally, in most cases, just don't care what other people do much at all. now that I think about it.
To sum up, I don't care.
I really don't, man. I mean, like, wear whatever you want on your feet. You know, whatever makes you happy, bub. You know?
I just wish Ronnie was here right now, because number 96 would mm-hmm. trigger him. He would. This would be the point where he goes into silent protest.
Ronnie is Mr. Crumpet. I don't even know what Mr. Crumpet is, but it's Ronald.
Drink
know?
Coffee, not tea, Mr. Crumpet. Like, he even threw in an insult on that one.
Exactly. Exactly.
Okay, so...
But don't be condescending.
I drink coffee by the gallon and drink it black, and not because it's manly, just I enjoy it that way more. However, yesterday, our church staff had sort of a send-off for Ray and Janie Orland, who are riding off into the sunset from Emmanuel, and one of the other couples on staff put together because they'd spent the last few months in England, they put together a high tea, which I honestly had no idea what it was, but it's the kind of thing that would have had Clint Presley flipping tables. Like, we're talking full china, scones, quiches.
Oh, yeah.
And honestly, I was way out of my element.
Yeah.
But I participated, and I learned that things like clotted cream are really good. Which I didn't know what it was. It sounded disgusting. It sounded like what happens when you leave cream on the counter. But I learned a lot. And I will just like to say that I don't think it's unmanly to do things like drink tea and eat scones.
Yeah. Again, man, if you're a scone guy, if you enjoy eating that, like go for it. I am a scone guy. My lady makes incredible scones. So scones, quiche. I like quiche. Dude, quiche is just an omelet in a different form. That's all it is. I don't know, man. I find it hard to get worked up about some of these in terms of what people are doing. Always wear a watch. Meh. I like watches. I have a watch. I don't always wear it. I forgot it today. Not a huge deal. Don't ever get a manicure. Pipe, have you ever had a mani-pedi? Have you had a pedicure or a manicure?
I never have had either.
I would be
hard against that, but not. I don't think it's for gender reasons as much as I don't like. I don't know. I just don't want people messing with my feet.
Dude, they're great.
Or my fingers. I understand that manicure is fingers, folks.
Yeah, no, they're really nice, man. They're really nice. So I don't know. I think, but I could see with the ethos that Clint has going on, he would take umbrage to that for sure. I don't know. Some of these are good. Knowing how to change a tire, use a chainsaw. I mean, yeah, like if you got stuff to cut down on your property, it's really good to know how to use a chainsaw. But
and that's another dad one as well as a context one. Like if you grew up in Brooklyn,
right? I was just gonna say that if you live in like 600 square feet in Manhattan, like you're probably never using a chainsaw.
If you learn how to use a chainsaw, you're a psycho.
Exactly. Exactly.
Nobody, yeah, you're using a chainsaw and like, yeah, mm-hmm. in I don't know.
All right,
Manhattan. Yeah, you're going to prison.
I have one last question to wrap this one up with, and man, this sounds, and again, conviction here because this list isn't all bad, and I think Clint is probably a good dude. But my last question is, how good do you think Clint Presley felt about himself when he wrote the last word of this list, versus how good do you think he feels about himself now? So, like, scale of 1 to 10, I just put the finishing touches on it. I hit publish versus today.
I bet he stands by every word of this and thinks that the people mm-hmm. who are offended are snowflakes.
I agree. And I think you got to be that kind of guy to write this kind of thing. You know what I mean?
Yes.
And I'll be honest with you, man. This is a little like sincerity here. I am not that kind of guy. I second guess not everything that I do, but as it pertains to like interpersonal stuff and people, you know, getting their feelings hurt by me, I lose sleep over stuff like that. But I would love to live just a day as one of these guys who don't sweat stuff like that. You know what I mean? I feel like it would be so fun to be one of those guys who's just like, yeah, whatever. You know, I stand by every word of it. I don't know, man. I'd like to know what that feels like.
Yeah, and I fall somewhere in the middle. I'm not a second mm-hmm. guesser, but I also, like, when I look at this list, almost all of it applies to me in terms of, like, not that I'm, like, the quintessential man, but I'm like, yeah, I do these things, or I try to do these things, or I have a dog, or I don't have neck hair, or whatever.
Yeah.
But nothing makes me a bigger tool than judging people by that standard.
Totally.
You know,
totally.
An 18-year-old kid at 30. I mean, here's the thing. There are people who I want to rake. I just want to drag behind my car for how much of a slacker they are as a man or for how they treat women or whatever. But that's very different than like, you didn't learn how to build a fire. What's wrong, you sissy? Like that, which is a little bit what this feels like.
Dude, I know how to build a fire. I just suck horribly at it. Like if we're camping or we're in any kind of like a fire pit scenario, just innately, everybody in my friend group knows, like, I'm the last guy to ask how to build a fire.
Ted.
Yeah, I'll be fumbling around with it for hours, you know. I have a friend, man, my buddy Lance. He has like a perfect man name. He just crushes all that stuff. He's so good at all
Lance
of it.
Is a great just dude name. He could have written this list.
So he should have. Like, if my buddy Lance had written this list, it would be 1,000% better. Here's the one I'm hanging my hat on, Piper. It's number 72.
Which one's that?
Learn to drive a standard transmission. The car I'm driving now is a stick shift.
Mm-hmm.
And I learned in high school because I had a great dad and he taught me a bunch of stuff. But if I had to hang my hat on one of these, it would be that. I think I drive the crap out of a stick shift, man. And I think people would be impressed if they saw me doing it.
Secret perk of driving a stick shift. Nobody ever can borrow your car.
I know. I love that. It's really good. Piper, this has been fun, man. Any final thoughts in kind of a parting shot kind of way on this?
You know, I'm going to hang my hat on be able to do at least 25 push-ups in a row.
Dude, there you go.
I'm just going with that. And I'd like to keep doing that until I'm like 60. As long as I can keep doing 25 push-ups, then like, I guess I'm a real man.
Yeah, there you go. You're a real man.
You drive a manual transmission. I'll do my push-ups and we will be real men.
There you go, Piper. Well, this has been a podcast hosted by two men, two quintessential men. You know?
Men about men.
And as soon as I leave here, I'm going to stroll out of my office with my seersucker suit, my walking stick,
your hair combed, your tie
tied, hair combed, a fedora that I'll like doff amicably at a woman
while walking at her. Making eye contact.
I will walk at her. Yeah, and if I'm sitting down in my seersucker suit, I'll stand up. As soon as a lady walks in the room.
And don't forget, next time you go out with your wife, you need to pay.
Yes, always paying. I'm just making it rain all over the place. So this has been instructive, Piper. We have learned a lot wandering to and fro throughout all things manhood. And until next time.
The Happy Rant is brought to you by Resonate Recordings. If you go to resonaterecordings.com, you can see the full range of services they offer. So if you're considering starting a podcast, they are the ones we recommend going with. Again, go to resonaterecordings.com to see their prices, to connect with them and ask any questions, and to see what they can do to help you launch, edit, master, and improve your podcast. Again, go to resonaterecordings.com to see what they can do to help you launch and improve your podcast.
This is Perseus Poku, host of the Sound Reasoning Ministry podcast. Learn how to share and defend your faith by listening to us weekly. Subscribe at lifeaudio.com.